you know, for years.
I've listened to Dave, and he said, yeah, I can appreciate that. I appreciate that. I just hear him over and over saying that with people.
So just keep doing it.
I'm not trying to alienate them. I'm not trying to win them at this point. I'm just trying to enter their world and hear their point of view. And it gives me things to pray about, you know, and listen to them. Hear what they have to say. But don't be the no person. You know, I'm married to a no person. Any of y'all married to no people? Well, I think maybe we should go on vacation to Costa Rica. No. It doesn't get any further than that, you know. So I wait, and then maybe the next day she says, you know, Costa Rica might not be all that bad. But anyhow, enter the world, hear their point of view. It's God who wins people. Remember, who's in charge in that chart we looked at yesterday, the spiritual one? Who's in charge of conviction?
Holy Spirit.
God. Right. The Holy Spirit convicts men, or the Spirit of God convicts men before they get the Holy Spirit in them. After they get it in them, then it's in them and convicting them. Right?
So on your point about entering their world, you know, I've got a guy I meet with that's from India, grew up Hindu, and I didn't know a lot about Hindu with him, you know.
Yeah.
I'm saying, hey, tell me about, you know, what that Hindu is all about. Mm-hmm. So he started, you know, talking through his, you know, his upbringing and his the Hindu religion and what that's all about. And I'm sitting there listening to this stuff. I'm not saying a word about this, but I'm going, man, really? I'm not saying anything. I'm just listening, you know. And I'm just going, wow. Okay, well, I got to go look into this because this is so far fetched. I can't believe anybody can believe this stuff. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm saying anything, but I'm going, okay. And then I would, you know, he would ask me questions about Christianity.
Ah, now he's curious. Yeah. And what I said about curiosity, when they become curious, then you raise the flag. Okay. But not until they become curious.
But I wanted to know enter his world.
That's right.
And understand where he's coming from so I can get an idea mm-hmm. who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's good to realize that as hogwash as you thought about his religion, that's what they think about our person.
Yeah,
3 days in the belly of a fish. Yeah, right.
Right.
To crucify him, rose from the dead. Yeah.
So God's going to come down and become a man?
To bring as many as possible to Christ. How many is it? I don't know. I don't know how many I get a chance to do. I have no idea. God only knows that, you know. But I just keep trying. It's kind of like when you play baseball. You try to get as many hits as you can, right? Every time you go to the plate, you try to get a hit.
Like farming day. You don't know which seed you throw out.
That's right. Are going to sprout. Some will. Some won't. Some will produce 30, 60, or 100 fold. Depends on the soil that they fall on. So we're farmers. We're looking for fertile soil. And it's not everybody is fertile. You know, it may take on for a long, long time. It may go on for 10, 15 years. Okay, ready for number four? Five. No, we're four. We'll talk about the Jews. To the Jews, I became like a Jew. So he gets into their world. Knew a lot about them over that, but anyway. Who? Okay, so who are the Jews in our world?
All feel trash.
Well, in that sense, you're correct. Okay, but in our world,
those religious people that think they're going to earn their way to heaven.
That's right. The religious. He's talking about the religious people who are under the law, okay? To the Jews, I became like a Jew. So he's talking about the religious, the church. What about AA? Yeah, young people under that law. It's great, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, people put themselves under law, under the law.
My wife has taken a lot of heat in this little group she gets with once a week, and they're reading through the Bible. And three of the women are just, have really got upset with her because they're basically saying, well, they got a brother that he doesn't believe in Jesus, but he's really a good person, so he's going to heaven. So I was saying, let's look what God, the Word says. I mean, she's not like trying to argue with her. To hear that, you know, you think there's these spiritual Christian ladies that are all, a lot of them are, it seems like they're in religion, you know?
Mm-hmm. So when I'm with the religious, what am I?
Religious.
I'm religious. We talk religion. Yeah, I'll get into the world. Find out what it is. What they're religious about. What they're. I listen to all our church talk. You know. I look at how great the pastor is, or the choir, or you know, whatever. I get into their world.
Would they be a number nine?
They're probably higher up the ladder than that, I would think. But maybe not, you know, I don't know. You know, they always say there's lost people in church.
Awareness of the fundamental of the gospel, so they don't know that.
Most of the time they struggle with that.
Oh, really?
The fundamentals of the gospel. Yeah, a lot of times they do. You hear their testimony, I don't even mention Jesus. Nothing about resurrection, crucifixion. It's all about. Well, when I was 7 years old, I walked the aisle, and I've been a believer ever since. Yep.
I'm with a guy in Bible study. It's like, he thinks he's good because he can keep the greatest commandment, which is love God and love the Lord. I tell him all the time, you don't do that. You don't come close to do that. There's nobody you take care of better than yourself, you know? It's like, but, I don't know.
So, as far as judging their religion, no way. Don't judge their religion. Whether it's Hindu, Muslim, Catholic, Protestant.
Not if you've had an impact on them. I remember at Three Rivers, we had a guy there, Bob Milam.
Yeah, Bob.
And Bob Milam had a heart for the Lord. He loved Jesus. But man, he would berate the Catholics. I mean, he had zero impact on the Catholics because he would berate the Virgin Mary and berate the Pope. I mean, he had no impact on them whatsoever.
I've been involved Milam in my family about the Episcopal Church for years. And God revealed that to me, and I'm having to do a lot of damage with my wife because that's her. You know, she grew up in that environment, and very deeply rooted in it. And so my challenge is to have a sincere interest in what they believe. A lot of history and Episcopal Church, a lot of interesting stuff. My challenge is to ask those open-ended questions with a sincere heart to learn about it and understand what they think and what they believe, and to leave it there. My tendency is to go lawyering on them.
Yeah.
And as soon as I can corner them,
try to get a conviction.
I mean, I've burned up any kind of credibility.
Yeah.
That does it.
For sure. That will do it.
No quicker way to alienate somebody than offend their religion.
That's right. Not my job to convict them that there's something better. That's God's job. He's in charge of conviction. My job's to be in the process with them. Cultivating. Yeah, I'm cultivating religious people. No question about it. All right. Any other thoughts about to the Jews, I became like a Jew. So once again, he's a chameleon, right? One day he's not a Jew, the next day he's like a Jew. So can you handle that? Is your own personal who you are interfere with you doing what you need to do to enter this person's life and not alienate him. That doesn't mean that you change. You don't become a Jew. He didn't say, I became a Jew, did he?
Well, he did say,
he became one. Like one, but he didn't become one.
Well, you'll certainly
step out.
Okay, well, you win, Stan. See, Stan's playing the game. He's whacking me. All right. That's what we do, is we whack people about their theology and their philosophy. Okay? Stan's as good as anybody at that. I've never seen anybody much better, actually. Okay? I remember one of my Timothys was at one of these retreats, and Stan whacked him. I thought, ooh. I love you, Stan, but that's what you do, baby.
I know. Okay.
That's why we're here, talking about change. Being different than where we have been before. Okay. Number five.
I'm going to
it takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
I'm a Jewish, like becoming a Jew, so obviously the greatest Jew of all time is Jesus Christ. You know?
Yeah.
And so this Jewish guy that became a Christian told me recently, so I told him about this Jewish neighbor that's become like our best friends on the street. Mm-hmm. You know about him.
Yeah.
He's Jewish and she's Persian and comes from like this long background, but they become our best friends. And they're lost people, you know, but they're like our best friends, almost. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's crazy how much we love each other and do with them and stuff like that. And it's like, for him, he's real proud that he's a Jew and talks about being a Jew. And he's like, brags about anybody that's a Jew to point it out.
Yeah.
And you know, he's a Jew and stuff like that. And it's like, I didn't know that. That's cool and stuff like that. I haven't yet, but I'm looking for that opportunity to tell him that my best friend is a Jew, and maybe I get to tell him about that, you know. But it's like, so far that opportunity hasn't happened, you know. Like,
well,
I feel like I'm being made about sharing the gospel, but it's not.
Mm-hmm. Well, when he starts asking you about your religion.
The wife has, okay. Mod, but not me.
Okay.
He has it.
So you wait for them to be curious. Okay.
Yeah.
And so when I think about Paul being like a Jew, I think about he went to roast the Passover lamb. You know, he was okay with all their traditions and all their rituals and all that BS that, you know, religions do. And so he's okay with that. You know, he didn't say, oh man, why are you roasting a lamb? Why not a chicken? You know. Anyway.
What we tend to lose sight of is that when we are cultivating the relationship, that we are evangelizing those people.
Mm-hmm.
You are evangelizing them. You haven't got them on his knees and praying the prayer yet, but you're moving them one step closer. And it's a good metaphor to get a positive view of the -7 right now. Right?
Okay, so we experience their point of view, their Jewish point of view, whatever that is, in our culture. I'm on number five, right?
Yes.
To win the Jews, to accept Christ, as the Messiah. Christ is going to take care of their sins. He has taken care of them. And they will accept that and let him be their Messiah. When I was in Israel on a trip, our tour guide was a Messianic Jew. And he had a whole bunch of friends that were bad. And I come to understand, they had not quit being Hebrews and Jews. And, you know, a lot of the traditions, they hadn't given those up. They were hanging in there. And for those of you that heard John Ridgway a few years ago at Moat Ranch, you know, he talked about winning people from all walks of life, you know, Hindus, Muslims, Sikhs, all. And he just, matter of fact, his religion his religious sponsors got real mad at him because he wasn't telling these people they needed to leave their culture and go join a Protestant church. He wasn't telling them to do that. He was saying, stay right where you are. Just start following Jesus, believing in him, and win the people in your family to Jesus, you know. And don't force some kind of religion on them. It's fantastic. And so, to the Jews, we are hoping that Jesus will become their Messiah, that they will follow him, come to know him, have a right relationship with God through Jesus. That's what we're looking for them, to have a right relationship. Not what some denomination tells you it is, but what God tells them it is. Each man has to settle on his own right relationship with God. Don't let anybody tell you what yours is. You got to find that for yourself. What you're comfortable with. What you can live with. You know, for each man in here, that's different. Because God is personal. Please, no man. Well, let's try number six. So then he starts talking about those people who are under the law. We've kind of hit on that, I guess, in terms of the Jews being more of religious under the law of religions. But now the world is full of moralists. You know who they are? Turn on your TV. They're preaching it. What we should think about everything. You know, everything in the world. Trying to tell us. Some guy there. Looks like he might be looking
he's
for
lost.
He lost. Okay.
This is
a hard one. All right. So those people who are under law, think of some of the people you know that are under the law, but not under necessarily some kind of religious law. How about the perfectionist? Anybody know anybody like that?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody is any like that? You know, some of us are married to them. Right? Yeah, I met her.
I was.
The meticulous. The perfectionist. So what are we going to do? We're going to get into the world, right?
I keep my clothes taped up. But to fell back where I was, I off the couch.
Right.
Keep the corners.
Get into their world. Understand their point of view. Doesn't mean that you have to stop being a slob, because you are.
Just temporarily.
Temporarily, that's right.
It's a temporary setback, if you're around.
Okay. The moralist. Oh, how can you not believe in what's the latest deal? Global warming? That's immoral, right?
Oh, yeah.
Those kinds of things. I mean, man, if you watch cable TV, you hear about it all the time. You know?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Being politically correct.
Yeah. All that. Those are they're under the law. They're under their own law. Oh, they get so mad because you don't see it their way. You don't see it their way, you know. They want a fence, they don't want a fence. But so get into the world, understand their point of view, even though you may not like it. You still got to get in their world if you're going to love them. They're the people who follow the rules, right? That wouldn't be me. I always cheated. I was watching Caddyshack the other day, and I don't know if you remember the Caddyshack, and the judge, he was always kicking the ball out of the rough. That's got to be one of the funniest movies ever made, unquestionably. Okay. Follow the rules. We have a term for them, Andy, we call them legalists, right? Oh, that's not legal, you can't do that. You gotta stop at that, on red before you turn right, okay? Right? Tell it to the judge, huh? How about the cults? Aren't they under the law? Are you willing to enter into their world? Those who are into, what was he calling it, Scott? The voodoo. The voodoo that you've experienced down in Costa Rica and entering into that world with those people. Oh, that's a good one. Sure. I have never been really around one, but I guess if I get around one, I need to experience their point of view. Okay, enter their world. And see where that, where God takes that, you know.
Jay, what would that look like in practice to sit with somebody who believes something like that and respect their point of view?
I can appreciate that. Yeah. It's kind of like, how do you get along with your wife and you don't have one yet? You learn, yes, dear. Okay. So you got to learn to say the right thing with people you don't agree with. I can appreciate the point of view. I appreciate it. Doesn't mean I agree with it, but I appreciate you having a point of view.
Excuse me, you got to take another rest.
Okay, Bob.
It's all going to be talk to get to the heart of it, kind of tell their story.
Yeah, what's your story? Yeah, we use that.
Jay, I have compassion for people under the law. They think they're right. They think they're doing good. They think they're going to go to heaven when they're under the law, which results in death.
Yeah, there's a scripture we should, Rick, I know Rick, he's great at memorizing scriptures. I don't know if you had a Bible I can say, but Rick would probably quote it to you. 2 Corinthians 3, 6, Rick, out of the New World Translation, talks about death in the spirit. The law bringing death in the spirit, bringing life. Can you quote that still? Okay. Somebody got a Bible handy to read. Well, it's out of the New World Translation is what one we memorized.
Is that the one you want?
Yeah. This is key. This is a key thing in legalism, that you understand this. If you don't believe this, then you're going to miss a bunch of what
we're... What's the address?
He has made us competent as ministers of the New Covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
The law, the letter, kills you. That's how you're convicted of that you're lost. You're convicted that you're lost by the law. Scott?
Well, just to tie a bunch of the points together, probably the most freeing thing that CBNC ever gave me was this chart. I don't remember, a couple of 4, 5, 6 years ago, whoever the speaker was at the He-Man meeting that introduced it the first time I saw it, took the load off my back. Because I had walked with a number of guys from -7 to 4, here to here, there to there. But I never taken somebody all the way. I never reached the end zone and felt success. So I just felt like a big failure. And, when he talks about us just moving, even if you just move somebody wide, but you're not really moving, you're just there. You know, it's not on us to do anything except show up. It's God that changes our heart. And we keep talking about what we can do. But we're there, we can live and point to the Word. It's God that's going to create all the circumstances, all the chaos that results from the sin in their lives, that they're finally going to go, tell me what works for you, or whatever. And that's when we get to point to them. So there's nothing for us to do. There's nothing that we can explain away or push or do anything. All the stuff that we're talking about here, to take that off, and then just one. one caveat from another guy that was talking to me about counseling then was, you know, if somebody's come to you and they're, you know, asking, he called them assholes. Because they would actually ask you for your opinion. I had this one Timothy that always come to me like, he would call and ask me what to do. And he wouldn't do it. You know, he wouldn't take the advice. He wouldn't consider what the Bible was showing him or whatever. He said, tell him what, man. That's God's work to turn it up. And he'll turn it up to the point where he finally will, those seeds that he planted will cultivate and they'll grow.
Okay, good.
So all we got to do is just really show up to do that.
You got it. You're right.
What verse is that, Jay?
2 Corinthians 3:6. We're ministers of a new promise. New promise.
Spiritual promise, not a written one.
That's right.
Clearly, what was written brings death, but the Spirit brings life.
So the Spirit brings life to us. Romans 7:6 says, but we're not under the law, but we're under the Spirit. We've been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. So the written code in you is just death unless you have the Holy Spirit in you to tell you what that means to you personally, not to some guy on a that's preaching. Okay? Maybe the same, but probably might not be. So you got to have the Spirit in you. And under the law, these people that we're trying to reach, you know, people in treatment programs, they are under the law, these programs that they go into for alcoholism, drug abuse, and whatever else, you know. Those are law, they're under the law. They've got to follow the law. And the Spirit is what releases people from the law and frees us. So we're free men. We talked about that before. Number 7, it came like one under the law. So once again here, we just enter their world that they're under. We get in there with them. Try to get their point of view. Now, what about me taking on their way of life? Now, Jim's still drinking tonic water. They're drinking lots of booze, but he's still drinking tonic water. So I don't have to take on your way of life and come under the law, under the 12-step program. I mean, I can just quit drinking. I don't have to come under the law. Maybe it doesn't work. Maybe it will work.
They said to me, well, come on and enter our game. Be part of our game. I said, well, I am part of your game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love you guys. That's just it, you know. I love you. I'm here.
Yep.
I'm just here.
So what do you say to him? Oh, I understand. You'd like me in your gang. You know, I'm here. I understand. I appreciate it.
I'm having a good time. You are.
Okay.
Better time because you're taking all their money because they're drunk. Yeah. I thought they paid
for
my time.
All right. Number 8 says, though I am free, although I myself am not under the law. Well, what does that mean?
You join the ones, you're not being exactly like them.
Okay. I think it's Romans 7:6. Paul saying, I'm free from the law. I've been released from. I serve in a new way of the Spirit. The Spirit tells me what to do. Just because somebody has some things that they can quote out of the law that say, I'll not be around you unsavory people. My Spirit in me, the Holy Spirit in me, is telling me I can do this. It's fine with God. I do this. But you got to know who you are. You can't do this if you don't know who you are. You're still struggling with your freedom that you've been given in Christ. Book of Galatians talks a lot about being free. We're free men. Okay. Number nine. So as to win those under the law to Christ, what do we want them to see?
Must we have to understand the mercy of grace?
That's good. Yeah. And do we show mercy and grace to them? Or do we whack them? No, we appreciate them. We don't try to correct them, tell them what to do. Man.
Yeah, we want them to see Christ's love for them,
mm-hmm.
and get to know kind of who he is, who Jesus All right. is. You know, that he is this guy that died on the cross for them and loved them so much, you know, just to get the purpose
yeah.
to share that.
The answer is Jesus. Tom, maybe you remember, somebody remembers, there was a book that we had that was, came out of one of those psychology ministries where it went from step to step to different things, different problems that you had in your life, and every time the answer was Jesus. You remember what the name of that book was? I know some of y'all have read that. It's been a long time ago that we read that. But every time the answer comes back to Jesus. And what's wrong with your marriage? Well, the problem with you and Jesus and your wife's problem with Jesus, when it really gets down to it, that's what it is.
Jay, I remember many years ago being at Bow Ranch, and Major Ian Thomas was the speaker, and between the girl and the we were walking on two different paths, and we came together. And so I said to him, "Hey, what are you going to talk about tonight?" Jesus. That was his answer.
Never talked about anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like a fool, you know. Of course, I can talk about Jesus, but yeah, that was the answer. It was always about Jesus.
Yeah, he never preached on the battle against abortion or anything. You know, he just talked about Jesus. That's it. And he's probably as good a teacher as I've ever been under. So, moving them one step closer, these people under the law. Because you know the law is going to make them sick. Because you just can't keep it. You keep messing up and it keeps whacking you. Surely it will. So number 10, those not having are outside the law. So who are these people outside the law?
Your buddies.
Your buddies. The loose living, right? Man, I do whatever I want to do. I'll smoke it, I'll drink it, I'll chase it, I'll catch it.
Sounds like a lot of lawyers I know.
Amen.
And none of it satisfies.
Are they moral?
No.
Hell no. No way. I do what I want to do.
I had one in the last year screw me on a deal, made me look bad with the judge. My first reaction was, slash his tire and kill me. My second reaction was, well, what am I supposed to expect? He's a lost guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's manipulating the system to make mm-hmm. money.
Gain
advantage, he's doing what he's supposed to do. That's what's natural.
But he's not outside the law. He is one of the law keepers. One of the things you first realize when you walk into prison is it is filled with people that decided that the law didn't apply to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These people are really turned off by baby Christians that don't know what they're talking about for the most part. You know, because they like Rick. Rick would chew them up. The baby Christians, he'd say, "Well, what about all the starving children? You know, how can a God be a good God that would allow that?" You know, so I mean, the baby Christians, the loose living, which they really take advantage of the baby Christians, because they're not ready to get in a relationship. Are you ready to get into a relationship with be immoral. Those who are living with their girlfriend, oh, well, that's my son. He's not married, right? It's not moral, probably from your perspective, but are you willing to stay in a relationship? Well, I got to, he's my son. What about this other guy, you know, that lives down the street or works with you? Well, are you going to write him off because he's immoral? No. Get in his world, hear about it. What's going to happen to him because he's immoral? It's called consequences. Right, Tim? That's what you preached on earlier, right? Okay. So, I can tell you, I was immoral, and it caught up with me. I'm not sure if some of it hadn't still caught up with me, but a long time ago. All right, number 11. I became like one not having the law. Why? Why do I become like them?
You say how?
Why?
To win.
To enter their world, right? Yeah, okay. I'll listen to your stories and your immoral perspectives. Am I going to take on their way of living?
No.
No, I'm not worried about that. I got my way of living. I know who I am. I'm a free man. I'm in Christ. He's the boss. So am I going to listen to their crude jokes?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Listen to their language. Yeah.
Their escapades.
Yeah. I used to go to this bar every day. This guy that owned this oil company. There'd be all these guys around there trying to work for me. They're just showing up. Hey, everybody's like, hey. I'm there to play cribbage, you know. So I play three play cribbage, and then I have my Dr. Pepper, and then they go on and they're following the wave, and I just pick up my cribbage little set, and I walk out the door, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. That's kind of good. I'm not trying to do anything here. I'm just here to play cribbage. But it, I mean, I've gotten some.
Where'd they go?
Say what?
Where'd they get up and go to?
Rich.
Oh, they go to, yeah, Rich. Wherever the
Vietnamese
courthouse.
Yeah. Right. Go get them a lot.
Yeah.
Whatever.
They just do all that.
You're a little passionate about all this stuff, right?
The thing about them is they were there before. I was just there just for the relationship I have with the guy. And I still go to the ranch in Colorado. And he comes down, every comes down, we get together again. The other guys are, he's no longer owns that oil company, so I know they're all off, I know, you know, they're no longer in the.
They don't need to work anymore.
Right, exactly. But I'm in it for the relationship.
One of the things Christians like to do around these people is sermons, those sermonettes. I have an experience with a guy I've known for several years. He's been like, you know, his parents were preachers of some kind, and he's like my age. And he'll listen, and then he's got to preach a little sermon every time. You got to stop that. You got to stop giving sermons to lost people. That's not appropriate. You listen to them, you let it get into their world, and wait till the consequences catch up with them. And then they're curious, maybe. How would you deal with this, Jay? Or how would you deal with this, Rick? Yeah. So I became like one not having the law, not taking on their ways, but entering their world. Not be offended by their way of life. That's their way of life. It has nothing to do with me. Not be offended by their crude jokes, reporting their escapades with whatever. That, now, you know, back in the 40s, 50s, evangelism, no. You didn't do that. You told them right off that they were wrong. And that ended the relationship probably right down there. Okay, number 12. Yeah, understanding this is, though I am free from God's law, although I'm not free from God's law, excuse me, but I'm under Christ's law. So, where are my bearings? Incorrect, right. I'm not free from his law. I'm under his law. So I'm not, what about following God's law?
Love.
That's one of them. So I gotta continue to deal with God's law, but I'm under Christ's law. You know? I'm under the law of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit in me.
The law of love.
Mm-hmm. Loving people. You don't have to like them. It's not a requirement for you to start liking these people that we're talking about. You just love them. And appreciate them. And understand them. Try to understand them. And let God do His work and try not to throw a monkey wrench in it. Okay? Because that's what I've been doing all along. So as to win those not having the law to Christ. So I want to lead them to know Jesus where?
Know where they're at.
Right. And where do you find Jesus?
In the Bible.
In the Bible, right, John. In the Scriptures. I want to. That's the next step. Lead them into the Word. Okay. So the old way, the 50s way, is you just invited them to church. Let the preacher do the job, right? Well, that's not the way we're proposing here in this movement, as we try to lead them into the Word ourselves so that we love them enough that we want them to get the truth. Because a lot of times in religions that they go into, they go into all kinds of, they don't get the truth. They get lost. We used to see that when Rick and I were in Three Rivers. That, boy, some of the things that you would hear in chapel. Curl your hair, you know. And keep them away from that as long as you can so you can get them in the real truth. You know the truth. Right there in those Timothy books. You don't have to go to seminary to show a man the truth that's written in those four books that we have. Let him get it right there. Because he can go sit under somebody who can lead him down a real dark path. And we used to see it all the time when I was there in Three Rivers. They had Rick trying to get Rick to throw away his NIV Bible and read only the King James Version and speak in tongues and prophesy. And okay, you think that's what a relationship with God is about, you know, well, fine, but I don't see it that way. I didn't see it that way at that time.
Somebody had convinced me I wasn't saved because I had not been baptized.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep, there was that cult was there. So as the windows not having the law to Christ, we lead them to Jesus and the Scriptures. That's what we do. Number 14. He said, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak to Christ. So who are the weak that you know? Who are these people?
The downtrodden?
Absolutely. Demoralized? The defeated? Run into those people.
These are the guys that don't know who they are.
Yeah, they're weak. So I become like them. I get into their. I talked to a guy yesterday, and he's got a condition that came out of. Anyway, he bleeds uncontrollably, you know, and I talked to him. And I let him spend about 10 minutes explaining to me his whole situation. I just listened to it. And uncontrollable bleeding out in his feet. Yeah, in his feet. Anyway, it's terrible. situation that he's under, you know. But I just tried to get in his world. And at the end, he thanked me. He said, thanks for calling and asking me about my problem. It's all I did. You know? It didn't cost me anything except 10 minutes on the phone. So get into their world. Tell me about your cancer. Tell me about your prostate. Tell me about your marriage. Tell me about your kid that won't talk to you. Tell me about that crazy daughter you got, you know. Get into their world. You don't have to be a one-up guy. Man, well, my daughter's not like that, you know. She's really a good, blah, blah, blah. Okay. How often have I done that to ruin relationships with people that were defeated? Tell them about my wonderful self. Learn to shut up. It really is a powerful evangelistic tool. Keeping your mouth shut about how wonderful your things are to the weak, to the demoralized, the defeated.
I think a lot of times people in crisis, you know, whether it's a relationship or their business or finances, just like in bad shape, you know.
Yeah. Had a guy yesterday tell me about his wife, you know. Gosh, she's a slob. Well, you know, you're just unlucky. You made a bad pick there, pal. You got to live with it, you know. That's all you can do. You know, my wife does this. So, anyway, just get into their world. You don't have to change them. That's not your job. God's going to deal with that situation that they're in. And you're praying for them, and you're loving them, and maybe you hate hearing about it, but you know that's loving them. It's listening to them.
I got a friend now that's got his wife's got Alzheimer's, and they were, you know, they've been married 20 years or whatever. She's only 72, and she's been down with us, and he's having to deal with this all on his own. He didn't have any children, and he's, you know, he's downsizing the house. Wow, it's a real sad situation, you know. But yeah, it's loving him and being there for him or whatever, you know.
So you gotta have empathy for people.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
No, I haven't had prostate cancer. No, my wife doesn't have Alzheimer's. But you can empathize. That's bad. That's tough, man. You know, and eventually, hopefully, you can help them see that Jesus is the answer to dealing with that defeated situation that they're in. Pretty simple. I become all things to all people. So, he's summarizing here, right? Man, wherever you are, I'm willing to get in your life and come to appreciate it. So I'm a servant or a slave to any and all sorts of people. Quit cutting people out of your life, okay? Well, you know, I forget, somebody told me about a situation where somebody said something that indicated they were immoral, and they told that person, well, you just need to get away from that person. Get them out of your life. Okay. Well, that's not what living proof is about. Okay, so in all possible means and in any and every way, what does that mean? We're the messenger. We use the word, right? Whenever possible, whenever appropriate. every area of my life. That's at the gym, at work, in the neighborhood, with your family members. I do it at the gym with pickleball people. And that's one of my best places. I meet more people, more and more people of all natures and sorts. And I hear all kinds of different legalism that they're under. And, so wherever I am, this is what I'm doing. Trying to get in people's lives and hear their point of view. Get to know them. Hopefully, God will give me an opportunity with them. Finally, he says, I might save some by leading them to faith in Jesus Christ. Scripture says, many are chosen.
Many are called.
I'm sorry. Many are called. And few are chosen. Thank you, Rick. So you're going to run into lots of people that are being called but will not be chosen while you're around them to follow. Not many will choose to follow him. You know, there's a lot of believers in our world. They're wannabes. They don't choose to follow him. I follow him because I have to. I can't live in myself if I don't. That's the only choice I have, is to follow him anymore. There was a time when I was a wannabe. I want to be this, I want to be that, I want to be a follower, I want to be a discipler, I want to be an evangelist, but very few are really do it. They do it because they have to. They can't live with themselves if they don't do it that way.
Many of those who are believers could be followers if they had a role model.
Okay. Spiritual mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Can you explain the tension between, like, Paul says, so that I might win, but it's like I've always heard that God actually does the winning. So that tension between what we do and what God does, can you explain that? It's ultimately that it's not us doing it, right? But it's God doing it. I've heard that, but here Paul is saying that I might save some.
I don't know. That's what he said.
I wrestle with that, and my take on that is if you were to take that verse out, just cut it out and look at it in a vacuum, you would think that Paul believes he's saving us. But if you look at the rest of the scripture where Paul talks about is Christ. So I think what Paul is doing is he's claiming ownership of this ministry. That this is my ministry. He's claiming ownership of it so that. And he's got full buy-in there. But again, Paul fully understood that it's the Holy Spirit. Just look at the entirety of Scripture. So I've always taken that as ownership.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer. I certainly do. Yeah, Scott.
To just follow up on that, that's exactly how I have this image in my head to divorce myself from being... feeling like I'm rejected if I do somebody something and argue about it or whatever. And that's simply to be the messenger. The messenger is the letter carrier. Almost like finally they ask the question, here's the letter. Here's the word.
And let's look at the Bible.
They can accept the letter or not. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like I'm just a postman. I did my job and once I'm done here, I go away. I'm not hurt or rejected or get a win either way. Because whether I spend 5 minutes or 5 more years with that guy, he's going to go live his life according to that letter or not.
literature work.
Simple question. If you want to win and disciple men, multiply your life, who do you need to get authorized by approval from?
Nobody.
Good answer. You do it because I made up my mind that's what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to let anybody tell me I can't do that. Because I believe that that's what I'm called to do. And so I go do it. I don't have to ask CBMC or, you know, some denomination or some high potentate. I do it because I can do it. It's something I'm free to do. I'm a free man. And I can do that. I can win people to Christ. I can disciple men. And I can hopefully see my life multiplied in others.
And so that's the ownership that I see where Paul says that I might say so.
Mm-hmm. I have been involved with men who have come to accept Christ. Yeah. I was there. I saw it happen. So did I make it? I'm not taking credit for it. I just was there. I was faithful. All right, well, we have our breakout groups. There's questions on the last page of your handout that I gave you. And I guess John, is John?
So we're going to take about a 30-minute break, and then we'll get our groups together, make sure everybody